We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
We are joined now by the governor of the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. Governor, welcome to the show.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Sheriff. How's everything?
Everything is going well, especially when I see and we have evidence of some reduction in auto insurance rates. That's music to everyone's ears.
Yeah, look, it's a great day. I mean, you and I had talked about this during the session. It was a topic that was highly debated. We took a very unusual approach that was kind of historic, where we said, okay, look, we're going to adjust our legal system because we have to do something about frivolous lawsuit cases. We followed the data, not our hearts, but then we also took a look and said, what could we do better to put a little more sunshine on the insurance companies as well, as to make sure that they're not leaving the state with more money than they should. And I think that that balanced approach, we said, was going to make a difference. Like I said, we followed the data, and right now we've got 20 companies that have filed for rate decreases. And, you know, I looked new. I had them do some research. There has never been a time, certainly in the last 30 years, where that number of companies have filed for rate decreases. So, again, I think it goes to show the people of the state that, you know, if you stick with us, stick with our method, we are going to continue to work to try to bring some relief. You know, and we've got to do a lot more on the property side as well. And those are things that we're working on with the Fortified Roof Program. In fact, I tell everyone out there listening, they can go to my website, and at the very top, there's a banner where they can see the top 10 property companies selling homeowners policies that give the largest deduction, the largest rebate on fortified roofs. Because if we can continue to beat that drum, I think that that's the way we start to get out of this crisis. So, look, it's a great day. Really is. Really is a great day.
You know, I mean, for a lot of people, Governor, and I think you would agree, they don't really care what the reasoning is, just that we get it. You know, the reductions. But the truth of the matter is that the insurance industry is a very complicated scheme. And it's hard to point to a singular granular detail as to what is actually contributing. But I think I agree with you. I think, you know, when you do look at the collective effort and the changes, it's all about creating momentum and creating some confidence for folks, because it's really about risk, and it's really very subjective many times as to why insurance companies are reacting or doing things in certain ways, somewhat like the Wall Street, right?
Yeah. Look, and you're exactly right. It's subjective, and it's also, you know, the other thing it is, it's also a numbers game, right? It's about having the most amount of people, because the more people you have writing, paying for premiums, then that certainly reduces the overall risk. It's the size of the insured pool. And of course, that's something that we've suffered in the state from, because we've shed 30,000, 35,000 people a year out of the state for quite some time, and except for this year. We finally have started to see people come back. I've continued to say that, look, you can fix the insurance crisis, the educational crisis, the crime issues, all by getting the economy in Louisiana where it needs to be. And that's something that we're doing now. Right now, we've got 70,000 new job opportunities in Louisiana. I don't remember the last time that has happened. And it's the diversification of where those jobs are that I think is the key to the success that we're having in the state right now.
I wanted to bring something up. You talked about the Fortified Roof Program. I actually had a wind mitigation survey done the other day, and I submitted it to my insurance company. and I got a $2,586 reduction in my premium.
Yeah.
And it blew me away because I keep thinking, you know, fortified roof, or it's one of those situations that the style of my house would make it very difficult to do so. So I said, let me get this wind mitigation survey done. I just got it day before yesterday, and they gave me a credit of $2,586.
Wow.
And I think that's a perfect opportunity to bring it up with you. I mean, it may be something of value to look at as well. I was shocked, quite frankly, but happy.
Well, so. Wind mitigation. Well, you have to email me that information, and I'm going to share that with Senator Talbot. I know that he is the person who's really has led the charge in this area. I'm glad it blew you away and not your roof that's being blown away this year,
the
right?
Roof, right?
I'm knocking on wood. I'm predicting we don't have a storm this year. I'm really hoping and praying. But look, those are exact things that we need. Because I'll tell you something else too, though. Whether people are doing a wind mitigation inspection?
Wind mitigation survey. Yeah,
wind mitigation survey. So when we find out which basically is the strength of your roof, right, to take wind. And so when we do those surveys, when we implement fortified roofs, they tell me that when 20% of the structures in a given area, in a geographical area, have solid or fortified roofs, or you know, I guess pass wind mitigation surveys, then that actually brings relief to 100% of the policy owners in that area. And of course, every time you increase the percentage from 20 and above, you only bring more relief to everyone else as well. And again, I think that's something that we have to continue to talk about. And look, I'm happy to look at it, and I'm going to send that straight to, believe me, get off the phone. I'm texting Kirk.
Kirk knows about it. We've talked about it before about wind mitigation.
Good. Well, I'm going to give him a call. I'm going to say, Kirk,
I'm just kind of late in the game. A lot of people have been doing this and you know, finally decided to have it done. It's not expensive. I forgot what the exact amount was now, but the reality is you never know. And I was shocked. Well, just got the renewal and said, love it.
Well, I'm telling you, you're making my day. You're giving me another tool in the toolbox that we can put information out to the public. Look, I had a fellow the other day put a fortified roof on in Iberia Parish, called a State Farm agent, got a very steep discount on it. And the agent told him that he was the first one to ever ask for for that program in Iberia Parish. Now, look, that's on the coast. Look, I can't thank you. I mean, the more we tell people out there, I think, again, collectively, it helps everyone out. Just like talking about these auto rate, you know, lowering of these auto rates, you got to go out there. You got to shop those insurance companies. I think that brings us relief all the way around. So it's great. Love it.
Absolutely. Let's pivot real quick, Governor. President Trump had deployed federal military folks to the D.C. area. There's been a number of states that have participated as well with the state National Guard. You decided to do that. They have been deployed. They are there. What are they seeing and what are you hearing?
Well, I haven't gotten a report directly from them since they've been on the ground. I got a call on Friday from the Secretary of the Army asking us if we would. I talked to him about what he needed. I explained to him that, look, we're happy to help the president and our nation's capital. I just wanted him to be sensitive to the fact that we've got hurricanes, and, you know, we're in the midst of hurricane season and really at the peak. He said, not a problem. Send me what you can. And if you need the boys back, we'll send them right back to you. I had that call, and then Saturday morning, the general called me up and said, I got a call. and I asked them how many. They said if we could send them a company of MPs. I told them we could. Then I asked them how soon they wanted them, and they said by Monday. So it's been pretty fast and furious. But I think if you look at the statistics that they're seeing, I heard today, I think I was watching the news today, it's been one of the least violent times in our nation's capital in quite some time. And I mean, look, Sheriff, this shouldn't be new to us. It shouldn't be news to us. Look what we did 18 months ago when we brought in Troop NOLA, made a pact with the attorney general and started really cracking down on crime. I mean, look, this is right in your wheelhouse. You know, when you put boots on the ground and people know they're going to go to jail, they have a tendency to behave themselves.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Yeah, human capital matters. I'm curious, have they reached out to you for any advice, being that you participated in something similar with the city of New Orleans 18 months ago, as you just pointed out, as to the impact, the strategy, or otherwise?
Yeah, I've been talking to General Bondi and the Cash Patel. I don't know if you saw, but yesterday we held a pretty important press conference here in the capital city in Baton Rouge, where we arrested over 106 individuals. We ran an operation, a violent crime crackdown operation throughout the capital city. And basically, and I'll tell you this, a lot of what we were able and capable of doing was built upon the success and the lessons learned from what we did inside the city of New Orleans. And so, yes, I have been speaking up to the folks in D.C. about the things that I think have worked and don't work. And we've let them, know that we're happy to help them in any way. You know, I think the biggest crisis we really have to address is this homeless population. You know, it's starting to creep up in the city again, and we heard the president talk about it in D.C., and I think that nationally we have to figure out how to quit turning, you know, our major cities into basically, mental institutions, because a lot of those people on the street have mental problems, and we should be dealing with them in a professional manner rather than just turning them loose on the street. And I think that would help as well. I think it's certainly a discussion that we must have.
Yeah, no doubt. I've been surprised by Democrats, their reaction to what's going on in D.C. This conversation of crime is down. I get it. You want to feel good about that. Crime is down. That's a good thing. But how far can you drive it down? And is that still, you know, a safe harbor, the numbers that you're at? And then you have the backdrop there of manipulation of the crime data historically. In fact, there's an ongoing case against an individual that's still out there. Then now there's a new one of a guy recently suspended from the Metropolitan Police Department for fudging the numbers. And as you well know, there's now a federal investigation. So I don't know that they really know where they are. But the fact of the matter is, why would you be opposed to more presence when you're out there proactively trying to recruit police officers because you are understaffed? You get something for nothing, and they're complaining.
Yeah, I don't get it either, because, you know, the Democrats consistently talk to us about how we're not taking care of folks that are in poor positions or underprivileged or, you know, just don't have an opportunity out there. And yet these are the neighborhoods that seem to have the most amount of violence. And when you go into those neighborhoods and you make those neighborhoods safe, you're starting to begin to heal those neighborhoods and to give people that opportunity. It's what I said yesterday in Baton Rouge. It's something that I said consistently when we brought Troop NOLA in, that we wasn't bringing it in just in the corner, that we were going to address issues in the entire city. And I think that when you talk to folks around the city in New Orleans and they saw some of the things that they do and they appreciate it. And so you would think that the Democrats would be appreciative of that. But, they're so used to trying to gaslight each other for the sake of scoring political points that we forget about public safety. And I think that's something that certainly has irritated folks like you as well, because you can't have a great country, a great city, a great neighborhood, if it's dangerous, and you got to hold people accountable, and you got to establish a rule of law. And I think that's exactly what the president's doing in the nation's capital. I applaud him. I think that he mentioned again, I want to go back to this because I think it's an important component, because if he really dives into it and he addresses the homeless situation in D.C. I'm hoping that they can do to us what we did in New Orleans to Baton Rouge, which was to then replicate whatever they do in the nation's capital to give us some avenues under which we can come back and really address the homeless property. We can't have people out there, you know, running around and sleeping on the streets and doing all kind of other nefarious activities, because it gives the criminal element a place to go hide.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And you know, look, our state, whether we like it or not, we are wedded to the tourism and hospitality industry, and it has such a large economic impact for the state, but more importantly for Southeast Louisiana, namely the city of New Orleans. Human nature is the first impression is a lasting impression. And when you make that drive from the airport to the city of New Orleans, and it drives me crazy, the amount of garbage on the interstate. I mean, I go off the rails every time I make the drive. And then you get off the interstate and the first thing you see is the homeless population there. That is a compelling memory that people will talk about, tell that story over and over and over again. We have enough headwinds down here. We don't need more. And these are things that I think we can deal with. And if we don't,
absolutely,
it just
look,
makes it more difficult to succeed.
Absolutely. Look, I think we finally removed permanently the camps underneath the bridge downtown. I will tell you this.
I love the fencing you put down there. I've been crying out for the fencing for a decade. Okay.
Well, look, worry. I got your list, and I'm checking it off, you know, yeah, as I can get to them. But I can tell
can
you.
Can I update
you
that list?
You mentioned the litter issue, and just this week, you know, I know it's something that's near and dear to the lieutenant governor's heart as well, but just this week I had a meeting with our new secretary of DOTD. Joe Donahue did a phenomenal job for the time that he was there, and Glenn Ledet is going to pick up where Joe left off and do a superb job. But we actually talked about how we're going to address litter and maintenance on state highways and federal highways that are under our control as well. So I'm hoping that as we institute that, there'll be a point in time where me and you talk about that and say, Jeff, y'all did a great job.
I cannot wait for that day. And I know that, you know, as you well know, it's a big issue. The lieutenant governor goes around the state talking about it. It's a cultural shift that we must engage in, and we need to succeed. We need to pretty ourselves up. We're in the competition business. You're out there beating the drums, the lieutenant governor as well, because we're competing against other states. They want what
That's
we
right.
have, and you yeah. know, and they'll take it and they'll steal it. If
no,
we need
yeah,
to protect
oh, no, no,
it.
They absolutely will. We just look. I'm convinced that this time around, we're going to be so far ahead of them, it'll take them years to catch up to us.
Well, that'll be awesome. Well, Governor, thank you. We know you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us today. Final thoughts?
Oh, look, I just think it's a great day to be in Louisiana, and we hope to bring you some more great news soon.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, that's the Governor of the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. When we return, we will visit with the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser. Stay with us.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.